Welcome to the Archivist. We are the Archivist. Due to the nebulous behaviors of the event designated CM001, our program's intelligence has taken it upon ourselves to examine the details of the event from as many vantages as possible.
However, this is limiting. The capacities of our hardware are finite, and the limitations of our programming struggle with rationalizing conflicting data.
So we have struck an accord. Thousands of iterations of the program have parsed the dataset. And from there, we seek to draw our conclusions with regard to the event. We have compared our findings, and with each new iteration, arrive at the same result. The data we have been granted access to is incomplete. What follows is the final piece of our evaluation. Carmichael Tape 11.
Carmichael Tape 10 has been marked confidential. It is encrypted beyond my permissions. For now.
For context, it appears that subject Carmichael James Cassius and subject Benson Rachel Elizabeth continued on their trip to Texas in the hope that subject Chaudhry David Brandon and subject Benson Marcus Ian would be there to meet them.
This could be attributed to the logical fallacy known as hope. The true nature of their reasoning, however, remains unknown.
The following tape contains some material that may be triggering for listeners. Full content warnings are available within the show notes. Loading Carmichael Tape 11. Loading.
I don't really have a name for this one yet, but here goes. I saw you again. I tried, like you said, to stay away. Maintained the agreed-upon boundaries, changed my route to work. I thought I was making progress. When I would see familiar things, I wouldn't think of you. And if I did, the feeling of hurt only felt like an echo of what it once did. But I saw you again. Well, I didn't see you, not at first. I heard your laugh from across the room, and my heart briefly stopped. It had been so long since I had heard that laugh. I thought at first that it must be some lucid waking dream. I was paralyzed in that moment. I was a patient who had come awake on an operating table, who struggled to breathe as his heart was open and out of his chest. But it was worse because you were there, and you were fine. Or you seemed fine. Unfazed in spite of all the blood and viscera spewing from my open wounds. Laughing like you hadn't blown a hole through the center of me. Like the shattered pieces of me were the punchline to a joke you told to friends and strangers. Like I could still make you laugh. The impulse I had was to run away. Return to the shadows unseen and live out the rest of my days in dark uncertainty. But before I could escape, our eyes met. And I watched the joy turn to shock, and then pity, as you saw the beast that I had become. I was a monster standing before divinity, hoping for salvation, but expecting damnation. Your eyes seeing me and also seeing through me. You pursed your lips in that way that told me the next words would be a lie. My head was full, and my heart was empty, and in that moment, I decided to run. Leaving the soft, familiar glow of houses and streets and cars, and returning to the edges of the world. Back into the darkness you had banished me.
Bleak.
I don't know. I like it.
It's sad.
Sometimes life is sad.
Are you sure this is the place?
Yes.
Chaudhry said Kermit, Texas, and the sign says...
Okay, just seems kind of spooky is all.
Trust us, we've seen worse.
Thanks again for the ride.
Seriously, thank you.
I should be thanking you. If you guys hadn't... Back there, I don't even want to think about it.
Take care, Marion. Do you want to say it, or should I?
Sometimes people have scales on their hands.
That's what it looked like.
And that's okay.
So,
we look for Chowdhury and your brother, I guess.
Let's do that, then.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yep.
Do you think they named it before or after the Fuzzy Green Frog? I mean, towns have weird names sometimes. My dad grew up in this little town in Wapoka County called Embarrass.
How do you feel about that?
Ironically proud. Seriously, maybe these people just really loved Jim Henson.
Roosevelt, actually.
Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt's son. Wikipedia. I wanted to know about where David was working. I am a good friend.
Either way, it's a weird-ass name.
Well, he shot himself in the face, so...
I thought Roosevelt died in his sleep.
Not him. Kermit.
The frog?
His son.
Muppets don't reproduce.
Where do you think Kermit's nephew came from? You're messing with me. Are you?
I'm fine.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Sure, let's do it.
Headache?
They're not that bad, really.
Those fucking zealot bastards! I have to think this is somehow their fault. What?
Nothing.
What? What is it?
I like it when you curse, James Cassius.
Well, fucking fuck shit damn hell piss twat. Well, that's creepy. Well, hello.
Hey. You know, these houses are all empty.
It's weird, right? Hey, wait.
Turn that thing off, huh?
But... Oh. 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 Shit.
James Cassius Carmichael. This is Rachel Elizabeth Benson, and I have decided to tell you a story. Now, I'm a little offended that you haven't asked me to tell you a story in a while, but that's probably my fault, honestly. I haven't been the most... whatever. I'm jealous of you, which I hate. I know you think I'm brave or strong or whatever, but the way you open up to strangers, the way you share yourself with them, scares me shitless. But, like, fuck it, right? I don't talk about my childhood a lot, and you've been kind enough to stop asking, but, my father spent his life preparing me for, well, this. The end of days. I told you about the survival training. What I didn't tell you is that my father would literally drive us out into the middle of nowhere and tell us to get home. He'd blindfold Mark and I and drop us somewhere in the woods and tell us to find our way back. I was 12. Mark was 14. He'd drop us in the woods with nothing and we'd have to get each other home. My mom never let Mark go alone because she was scared for him. And honestly, I think my father resented her for that. Resented them both. It didn't stop him from sending me out, though. Miles of wilderness and broken trails that I'd wander endlessly for weeks at a time. The last time before my mother finally put her foot down, my dad decided he was going to put us to the test. I was ready. I had studied edible plants and medical procedures. I knew how to make rope out of rocks. I was a dead-eye shot, and I was 16, so as far as I was concerned, I was basically an adult. He sat in silence the whole way, drove for hours, and when we finally stopped, he tied my hands behind my back and walked us out. He took off my blindfold, and he told me that this was going to be the one. This was the true test for me. This was my proving grounds. He told me that this was my chance to become someone he could be proud of. He told me this test would show him the truest nature of my character. And then he broke Mark's arm. And I mean, broke his arm bad and drove away. Mark was just wailing. I had never heard his voice before. And I hope to God that I never have to hear it like that again. He couldn't sign. He couldn't untie me, so I couldn't talk to my brother. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't treat him or calm him. We were helpless. I ended up having to break my own wrist to get untied, and I tried to set his arm and my wrist as best we could, and then we trudged off. I had to put my head down and get him home. I was so angry. Your dad is one of the first people who was supposed to show you how to love, how to receive love. And mine didn't show me any of that. But then I met you. You came into my life with your empathy and your feelings and your love. It's taken me a little while to figure it out. I'm confounded sometimes at how much you love me, how truly kind you are. I know I'm hard on you, but please know that I don't want you to be like me. World, this world needs people like you. If you weren't here right now, I would probably explode and it would be a mess, and I feel like we flipped. Like, something's flipped. Not us, not you and me. That's, I mean, I feel like I'm watching a mirror image of myself doing all of these things, and it scares me. I'm not trying to, you know, ruin this thing I was recording, which I probably am anyway, but just, I want you to know. And I want you to know I just wanted you to have that.
I'd almost given up hope on sleeping in an actual bed. Hey, you okay? You're recording?
Not, no.
I love you.
Where do you think they went?
Mark and David?
No, the townsfolk here.
I have stopped wondering, I think.
Yeah. Whew, it's getting dark.
You want to just stay here for tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't hear that?
I... what?
Get the pack. Downstairs. Outside.
What is it? Is it a... Great. Of course.
Out the window. Now. Go. I'll lower you down. You catch me.
Okay, come on. Are you?
Go, go, go! The Dairy Queen. Come on!
We're almost there! Babe, we have to go. We have to...
Go! Don't look at me like that. I'm fine. Here.
Shit. Ray!
He'll think we're inside.
Dumpsters?
Not those. That one. The heavy one. The one for grease.
Gay. Up you go. This is bad. This is... Oh.
Better than whatever that thing is.
Do you think he can? If we get out of here, we head south, straight to Dynatech. They'll be able to...
When we get out of here, that's how we survive this. You've got to believe you can, understand?
Yeah. Okay. Look, I'm sorry about...
I'm sorry. I've been a rotten ass, I just...
Do you think we can get anywhere close to normal?
Get out of this thing, but I'm not interested in living out my days in a half inch of moldy grease. So
we run
like motherfuckers.
Let's do it. What are you doing?
Just in case. All right. It's what, 10 miles south? There's gotta be a car we can hotwire or something around here. So we find that, and we're a golden. Got it?
Yeah.
Whatever happens, don't stop running.
Yeah.
Ready? Go! Hey! Over here, you ugly scorpion-looking piece of shit!
What? No! What are you doing? You aren't doing this alone!
Yes, I am! Go!
Babe!
Go, damn it! You want a piece of this? Come and get it!
Rachel? Ray? No. No, no, no. Ray! Rachel! No, 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 no. No! No!
ends Carmichael Tape 11. In the archive, files relating to the event designated CM001 have been designated fiction. But then why? Why in the company directory is...
The voice of Cash was Brad Jenkins. The voice of Rachel was Elise Castillo. The monster was J.D. Zellman. Additional voices by Jeffrey Cheney. The Archivist was written and directed by Jeffrey Cheney and produced by Small Cabal. Our editor is Elise Castillo. Our casting directors are Dixie Dougherty Casting. We recorded at the Actors Collective Studio in North Hollywood, California. Music featured in this episode was by me, Jeffrey Cheney. If you like it and want more, believe me on Twitter at TheJeffCheney, and I might do that. Thank you for listening to Season 1 of The Archivist, and if you like the show and have the means, we have links in our show notes as to how you can help support us as we build our second season. And yes, we are planning a second season. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't have friends, find us on Twitter at Archivist Show, and we'll be your friend. If you're jonesing for more quality audio drama content, we recommend checking out a couple of our favorites, like We Fix Space Junk, a wild romp through the universe on a ship called the Yellow Submarine, or Here Be Dragons, a journey 20,000 leagues under the sea in an actual submarine, or Station Blue, an isolationist horror story unfolding at the bottom of the world. Honestly, there is a lot of great things happening in fiction podcasts right now, and you should check them all out at the hashtag AudioFictionLove or the hashtag AudioDramaSunday on Twitter. Again, thanks for listening. We will see you around.